Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and you can call us 888-302-3684 as we get started on yet another hour of Intelligent Medicine. Welcome back, our New York audience. We're back to live on Saturdays. We should be pretty much uninterrupted in spite of the Mets baseball schedule, which during spring training involved a couple of day games, but mostly Saturdays they do night games. So pretty much we should be relatively uninterrupted throughout the spring and summer baseball season. 888-302-3684. We invite your phone calls. This week I did a podcast, a special clinical focus podcast, in which I rebutted Dr. Dean Ornish's op-ed in the New York Times. It was highly publicized. It was an op-ed in which he was inveighing against the current backlash against the low-fat, low-cholesterol, plant-based diet. A lot of people have been pushing back against that, including some people that we've interviewed on our Intelligent Medicine podcasts. We talked to Nina Titholz, who wrote a very, very excellent book called A Big Fat Surprise. And we've talked to the author of Defending Beef, Nicolette Hyman, who also wrote a book talking about the fact that beef itself, animal protein production itself, is not responsible for environmental devastation. If done properly, there is such a thing as, it sounds like an oxymoron, but sustainable animal protein production. And oh, by the way, animal protein is a very high-quality nutrition. You have to eat lots and lots and lots of vegetables, which require a lot of water, a lot of resources, a lot of transportation to bring to market. So invoking the ecological argument for eating low on the food chain is not necessarily that rational, although it's an argument that is invoked by many proponents of a vegan lifestyle. And I commented on this and other things in a podcast, and you can check it out at drhoffman.com. And I got a very nice comment from one of our subscribers, Michael. He writes, "Dear Dr. Hoffman, your detailed rebuttal commentary on Dean Ornish's op-ed article was outstanding. Not surprisingly, you were fair, objective, complimentary to him when appropriate, and thorough. The aforementioned has always been characteristic of your programs and podcasts. Your alternative explanations of some of his points were right on target. It seems that Dr. Ornish either was not aware of studies that contradicted his position, or he was, but chose to ignore them in favor of studies that supported his contention. Dr. Thomas Kuhn, in his famous book, The Structure of Scientific Revolutions, talks about how difficult it is for scientists to relinquish the paradigm that they are using in favor of a new one that helps to explain data that the one they adhere to cannot. Perhaps Dr. Ornish is suffering from paradigm paralysis, which leads him to adhere to all aspects of his vegetarian philosophy, even though much data contradicts aspects of it. Thank you for being fair and presenting a balanced and wholesome approach to the issue." And I thank you, Michael, for your nice comments. Very encouraging to hear nice feedback like that. And you know what? I got to tell you that I, at one point, was perfectly aligned with Dr. Dean Ornish. In the 1970s and 1980s, I was following a vegan diet. It was a macrobiotic diet. I ate virtually no fat. Maybe I got a little bit of fat from some nuts. No animal protein, no dairy, rice, beans, tofu, tempeh, green leafy vegetables, seaweed. That's what I subsisted on, a miso, typical Asian vegetarian diet. And I also was, you know, like Dr. Ornish, I would invoke pieces of scientific evidence to buttress what was already my preordained ideas about vegetarianism. I was a dyed-in-the-wool vegetarian, And I wanted to substantiate that. So this is not really science. It's like more like, you know, like a religion, like a quasi-religious attitude where you tend to cherry pick the scientific evidence that buttresses your argument and ignore the scientific evidence that refutes it. And, you know, Dr. Ornish did a very good job in the New York Times of mustering evidence for his viewpoint, but he ignored scientific evidence that undermines it. And I'll read from you a little bit of a critique that was posted by a colleague of mine, Dr. Eads, who is a proponent of a higher protein, animal protein-based diet, and also suggests that we get too much in the way of sugar and starch from a vegetarian diet. He writes, Dr. Dean Ornish strikes again with an editorial lambasting what he calls high-protein diets in today's New York Times. That was, I think, published this last Monday, this week. And he writes, although people have been told for decades to eat less meat and fat, Americans actually consumed 67% more added fat, 39% more sugar, and 41% more meat in 2000 than they had in 1950. That's actually what Dean Ornish is writing. And he uses this as an argument to support his view that we should all become vegetarians. He says, not surprisingly, we are fatter and unhealthier. Dr. Eads writes, the message Ornish wants the reader to take away from this is that excess meat and fat consumption are driving the health problems we're facing as a nation. But nothing could be further from the truth. He says this is typical Ornish, citing statistics and even giving the reference to find those statistics, but assuming no one will bother to actually look it up. And when you look it up, the evidence that he cites looks at fat consumption and admits that Americans consume 67% more fat, but all fats naturally present in foods such as in milk and meat are excluded from that statistic. So added fats, according to Dr. Eads, do not include the fats in meat and dairy products. Added fats are basically oils or shortenings of plant extraction, the kind of things that we find in cookies and in salad dressings and in prepared foods and fast foods. Think of French fries. They're basically fried carbohydrates that are laden with fat. And Dr. Ornish wants you to lump those in with meat, suggesting that meat is the problem. But no, these added fats don't come from meat. They come from our misguided effort to substitute cheap omega-6 oils, sometimes hydrogenated fats in our diets, for good old-fashioned fat that you find from animal protein, the things that our ancestors used to eat, like chicken fat and butter. And so, you know, he does a pretty good job, Dr. Eads does, in demolishing some of the assertions made by Dr. Ornish. And you can look up his commentary. By the way, one thing that he says is this dead wrong. He says that Americans are eating a lot more meat than they used to. But it turns out if you go back to, you know, the 1890s or 1900, Americans were eating a lot of meat because we didn't have as much in the way of transportation and refrigeration and preservation. This was, you know, canning was only developed in, you know, on a commercial basis. I mean, people did home canning. But on a commercial basis, it wasn't developed until the 20th century. So what did people eat during the parts of the year where there just weren't no plants? I mean, I'm here in New York, and it's the end of March, and I look out the window, and there's still snowflakes coming down. It's 34 degrees. There aren't any plants growing. And so what did people eat during this hunger season? They ate mostly, they slaughtered animals, and they ate preserved meats. And the animals produced dairy, so they had butter. And Americans in the year 1900 had far less in the way of cancer and cardiovascular disease We eat more vegetables and more grains by a long shot, and certainly more in the way of refined sugar. It used to be a super big deal for a kid to get a nickel on Sunday, maybe, and they could go to the candy store and buy some candy. Now you can get hot and cold running candy much as you like all day long because of affluence and availability. And, oh, by the way, having a soda, that was a big deal. That was a real treat. Even some of you who are a little older remember when it was a treat to be able to afford a soda. Now you can get, super 36-ounce, 64-ounce bottles of soda and guzzle that all day long. That's what's causing this current epidemic of degenerative disease and obesity in this country, not animal protein consumption. And Dr. Ornish's statistics are marshaled in a biased and skewed fashion to support what he's already decided upon, which is he decided that a vegetarian diet is the way to go, more an ideology than a reading of the scientific facts. And you check out my podcast at drhoffman.com. There's lots of, for those of you who like to listen to this program on the weekends, there's lots of added value there. You can get more bang for your buck as a listener to Intelligent Medicine. They're all free, and you can download them to your mobile device or to your computer. 888-302-3684. We have some calls. We'd like to talk to you. And this is Intelligent Medicine.
Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy. It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking Kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract is available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System, a complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
For more Intelligent Medicine, download our free podcast at drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. In hour one, you can catch the podcast. We post them on Monday, or you can listen live via drhoffman.com. Next week, just go to drhoffman.com, and you can listen to the full 2 hours of the program via the Internet. In hour one, we talk a little bit about exercise, and I'll mention that these days, before I exercise, I'm using a new product called Super Beets. Super Beets helps your body create nitric oxide, which has been shown to enhance athletic performance, and it boosts circulations and relaxes arteries. For those of you who are not even big athletes, lots of benefits to nitric oxide. You can get the benefits of three whole beets in just one teaspoon of Super Beets. And there's no icky beet taste. Juice and beets kind of messy and taste grody. Beet juice is rich in nitrates. And Super Beets gives you the equivalent of half a liter of beet juice in a 4-ounce shot. So if you want to access these benefits, you can get a 30-day supply free. It comes with your first order. and it's backed by a money-back guarantee. And you'll also receive a free book by researcher Dr. Nathan Bryan, who we've interviewed here on Intelligent Medicine. It's a great book, and it lays out the case for dietary nitrates. I don't work out without my Super Beats anymore, and I think you're going to love it too. Call 800-738-2198 or click intelligentbeats.com. That's intelligentbeats.com. The number is 800-738-2198. Try it for yourself and with a special offer at intelligentbeats.com, or you can call 800-738-2198. All right, let's hear from Gordon in Brooklyn, New York. How you doing? Hi, Gordon.
Yes, hello, doctor. Great to hear you. I'm a regular listener, even at 7 p.m. Sunday night.
Oh, excellent. Great. Good. Yes. You found us. But now we're back to our regular time. So you
yes,
can,
that's. I'm very happy you're back and looking forward to listening to you in the afternoon and listening to the Mets in the evening.
Okay. I'll answer your question, even though you're a Mets fan, but, you know, I'll let you off the hook.
Okay. I've heard you use the term grain brain on past shows as a reason for not consuming foods from the cereal family.
Right.
Now, I was just wondering, though, are there any cereal-based foods that you feel are worthwhile enough so that one should consume them even though they do have this drawback?
Okay. Well, it depends. And what we're referring to in Grain Brain is a book by my good colleague, Dr. David Perlmutter, who we've interviewed several times for our Intelligent Medicine podcast. And we will be interviewing him again on his new book this next month. It's coming out. It's called Brain Maker. And the contention in Grain Brain is that grains can deplete your brain power. Well, how is that possible? Well, number one, grains, one type category of grain is gluten. And gluten is associated with intolerance in some people, not all people, but I think in a high percentage of people. And in some cases, we see weird neurological diseases, even Parkinson's-like syndromes, Alzheimer's-like syndromes, that are related to an autoimmune reaction to gluten. And so that's one of the premises of Grain Brain. But be careful, because I'm not sure that everyone needs to follow this paradigm religiously. And I'll tell you why in just a minute, because not everyone. I mean, some people do tolerate wheat. I mean, we're stigmatizing it. We're on sort of a gluten-free kick, and it makes a big difference for a lot of people. But for some people, it's not entirely necessary to follow that. And I'll share with you my interpretation of Grain Brain in just a moment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Beets are a nutrition goldmine, rich in antioxidants, polyphenols, electrolytes, and dietary nitrates, which can help boost circulation, relax arteries, and maintain healthy blood pressure levels. Get the benefits of 3 whole beets in just 1 teaspoon of Super Beets. I feel confident offering this to you because I take Super Beets every day. I know it's working because I feel more energy within 20 minutes, and I want you to feel it too. Call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeats.com, 800-738-2198 or intelligentbeats.com. Get a 30-day supply free. It comes with your first order and is backed by a money-back guarantee. Also, receive a free book, Beat the Odds, and free shipping on your entire order. You'll love the results, guaranteed or your money back. Call 800-738-2198 or go to intelligentbeats.com.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We're talking to Gordon. He's got a question about grain brain. And he's asking the question, is a grain brain diet, which excludes grains, very low carbohydrate, is that for everyone? Is it necessary to follow such a rigorous diet to preserve brain function? That's pretty much the thrust of your question, right, Gordon?
Yes, and if there was any food like I had in mind in particular, something like wheat germ.
Mm-hmm.
Was that? Do you think that might be worthwhile enough to include in a diet of other, you know, of a varied diet?
Let me address that. So, you know, for some people, especially patients who have mysterious neurodegenerative conditions, you know, like Alzheimer's or dementia or Parkinson's disease. I always check for gluten intolerance, and there's a certain, not everyone, but there's a certain subset of people with these conditions who have evidence of gluten intolerance, either full-blown celiac disease or traces of gluten intolerance, which can cause autoimmune inflammatory problems in the body and which can ultimately affect the nervous system. Now, this is not to say that the generations of people who've been consuming wheat or wheat germ in particular, which is a concentrated source of healthy nutrients, a great source of vitamin E and tocotrienols, that this is necessarily bad for them. You know, otherwise we'd have to suppose that Dean Ornish, who's the proponent of a high complex carbohydrate diet, is becoming progressively demented because he's eating lots of grains. It's probably not the case. I think he's a real smart guy. I mean, just I think he's wrong. But, you know, his brain is sharp and intact, and he may be, you know, pushing 70. So the other idea behind the grain brain diet is that a ketogenic diet where you deliberately deprive the body of carbohydrates switches the energy utilization to fats. And the brain is a very, very energy avid part of the body. It's got tremendous energy demands, even more so than the heart and the muscles. And so for a lot of people who are suffering from cognitive decline and dementia, they have what's called type 3 diabetes. This is a very important theory, is the notion that the brain actually develops insulin resistance and doesn't handle carbohydrates very well. So in effect, what you get is a power failure to the brain, a brownout, and you don't get adequate energy production in the brain. And when you switch to fat as your source of calories and energy, that the brain functions more efficiently. This has actually been shown in kids who have epilepsy, in some people who have dementia. They tried, you know, these types of diets, and it actually improves mental functioning. And some studies have shown there's a measure of blood sugar levels called hemoglobin A1C. It's not glucose. It's actually something that changes only very gradually. So it's a measure of what's happening to your blood sugar over the past 4 months. And for each 1/10 of a point increase in hemoglobin A1C, say your hemoglobin A1C goes from 5.8 to 5.9, which is not diabetes, but maybe indicative of a little bit of insulin resistance, there's a dramatic increase in your risk of dementia. Double-digit increase in your risk. So by the time it gets to, you know, 6.3, 6.5, you know, 7.1, you're dramatically increasing your chances of having cognitive decline. That's what this book is based on. Now, I think it's created sort of a furor because the notion is that in order to have a normal brain, you have to completely forswear wheat and all carbohydrates. And for me personally, I find that I utilize carbohydrates. I'm sensitive to wheat. I get nasal congestion and allergies, so I stay away from wheat. But, you know, I'm happy to have some oatmeal, some whole grain. I take the kind of oatmeal where you have to – I cook in a crock pot overnight because I think that's the best quality oatmeal, not the instant oatmeal. And I But I have a rapid metabolism. I'm not insulin resistant. I exercise a ton, so I burn off my carbohydrates. But for some people, people who are disabled, sedentary, have prediabetes, it's a good idea to really curtail carbohydrate intake. So different strokes for different folks, and we have to know a little bit more about you personally to tailor a diet to you. Are you intolerant to wheat? Are you intolerant to gluten? Do you have insulin resistance? And I'm not going to go down with a whole analysis of you. That's all I have to say on the subject. Let's talk to Elmer. Welcome.
Hello, Doctor. I'm interested in the subject of telomeres. Two things on it for your input. The Time magazine issue on longevity on February 23rd warned against taking supplements that either synthetically produced or in herbal supplements claim to include the enzyme telomerase.
Right.
And
why? I didn't see that article. Why did they say that was a problem?
They don't. I don't think they say cancers could create it. If
right.
telomeres never burn down,
okay.
you get immortal
right.
cells, which is another way of saying cancer cells.
Okay. So let me comment on that. For a listening audience, they may not know what that is. Telomeres are the little caps that are at the end of your chromosomes. And, one way to visualize that is, your shoelaces have these little plastic tips that keep the shoelaces from unraveling. I hate when those plastic tips come up because then your shoelaces get frayed and then then they're no good anymore. And that's a little bit by analogy what happens to your telomeres is that, to your chromosomes, the telomeres, if they're longer, you have a greater potential for longevity. In other words, you'll have many opportunities to replicate your proteins in your body, and theoretically you'll repair your body and you'll live longer. And when your telomeres run out, game over. You know, that's when your body goes into senescence and the repair mechanisms fail, and you get into age-related degeneration. And so there are these products that are aimed at lengthening your telomeres. And I'm not I don't have a lot of buy-in for those products because I think there's some natural things you can do. You can exercise, even mindfulness, meditation can help. Somewhat caloric restriction, not overeating helps that. To some extent, it's genetically determined. Substances like resveratrol and the beneficial polyphenols that you get from fruits and vegetables help that. You know, perhaps vitamin D has an impact on telomeres. So many different things, maybe certain B vitamins. So I don't think we've really nailed it on that. But to say that you're going to create cancer by preserving your telomeres, theoretically, a cancer is an immortal cell. It doesn't die, and that's not good. But for Time magazine to infer that these products can give you cancer, I think that's ridiculous. Some of the self-same substances that protect your telomeres also increase what's called apoptosis or apoptosis. This is a natural process by which your cells die. And you don't want immortal cells because if all your cells were immortal, your body would explode in cancer. Every organ would become cancerous. It wouldn't be lung cancer. It wouldn't be colon. It would be cancer of every organ. The cells would proliferate chaotically. And, that's another way that you could meet your maker. So I don't put a lot of stock in the science journalism that you read in Time magazine. I think it's a theoretical argument. I think at worst you can say of these products is that they're not proven. They may not be valuable. And the biggest damage that they could do, I think, would be to your pocketbook and not necessarily that they're harmful. They just may not be that efficacious, and some of them are kind of pricey. That's what I'd have to say about that.
Doctor, they're saying that it's those that claim to have the enzyme telomerase are the problem. They're not saying that... So would you say that things like product B, the Isagenix products, and all the stuff that's in those, and
I don't think that they really deliver in a high quality way, some specific enzyme that's going to change your telomeres in a dangerous way so that you get cancer. I mean, I just think that that's overblown. I think the claims are overblown, but I think the claims for harm are overblown as well, in my opinion. Thanks for calling. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production, from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at nordicnaturals.com.
drhoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and some important news on folate. Folate, a B vitamin, a couple interesting studies, one in JAMA, Journal of the American Medical Association. They found that the big Chinese trial, 21,000 adults with hypertension and known cardiovascular disease. And what they found was that folate supplementation significantly lowered the risk for stroke in adults with high blood pressure. And it worked particularly well for adults who started the study with low folate levels. And there was also some interaction with the genes that govern folate metabolism. So that has a little bit to do with homocysteine, but it goes beyond that, because you can have a normal homocysteine, but you can have mutations of something called methylene tetrahydrofolate. We're measuring those now. And individuals with those problems require higher levels of folate to bypass these roadblocks to folate metabolism and methylation. So the conclusions, large populations worldwide still have low folate levels, and supplementation should be considered, especially in patients with hypertension. So stroke prevention with folate. Another one, this is the Women's Health Initiative in the United States. Again, thousands of individuals, over 7,000 women. Folate intake below the recommended daily allowance may increase the risk for dementia and mild cognitive impairment. So think folate, think testing for MTHFR problems. Folate may be very, very important for brain function. Let's talk to Joe in Queens. How you doing, Joe?
How are you, Doc?
Good, thanks.
How are you doing? I called just to what you just mentioned about the oncoming of dementia or something. About a year ago, I'm about 47 years old, very sharp, great reflexes all my life.
Yeah,
I'm a typical American, not the greatest diet, not that much sleep, works a lot. About a year ago...
Well, you have some risk factors right there.
There.
You know, sleep deprivation, that can affect you, slow you down, and the great, not the best diet. Yeah, okay.
And about a year ago, about 13, 14 months ago, I just had a weird feeling, and now I'm every day, from the minute I wake up till I go to bed, I just feel my brain feels slower, not swift. I feel like intoxicated all the time. Okay. I feel like I'm in a daydream.
Okay, you're reminding me what a typical day. I mean, it's the weekend, but I feel like it's a Monday morning in the office. You sound like a typical patient who comes to see me. There's so many factors that may be involved in this, and you know, among them, you know, we talked earlier about type 3 diabetes. If you're on the wrong diet, sometimes your brain can, you know, instead of being a 150-watt light bulb, it can be a 60-watt light bulb because you're not utilizing your glucose fuel efficiently anymore because you developed insulin resistance or type 3 diabetes. That's number one. So a glucose tolerance test might tell us if you have insulin resistance. That would be good to do. Also, you're reaching that critical age where a lot of men have lower levels of testosterone, and no, testosterone isn't a perfect elixir for all forms of midlife male fatigue, but your testosterone may be declining, especially if you've got a enlarging waistline. And, you know, sleep deprivation itself kills your testosterone, so you might have a lifestyle-related problem, you know, stress and so on. But overweight also increases your risk for insulin resistance. You might have a specific food intolerance. You may have so-called grain brain, or you may have a gluten intolerance, which causes you to feel cognitively foggy. You may not be getting enough omega-3 fatty acids, which improve brain function. You know, I talked earlier, and, you know, that triggered a, that dropped a penny for you, as they say in England. Folic acid or folate. These days we favor the natural form folate as opposed to synthetic folic acid, but folate helps to enhance brain function. If you're not on the best diet, you're not getting enough foliage, or you like liver, not many Americans do, that's also a source of folate, but many people require supplemental folate. You may have the gene which predisposes to early cognitive decline when you don't get extra doses of folate and methylated B12 and B6. So those are some of the factors that may be involved. And then there's a myriad of other factors. It could be thyroid-related, adrenal fatigue. You know, there's a lot going on. But there's no reason why you, at the tender age of, you know, you're pushing 50, but you're 47. You know, I just heard that Ichiro Suzuki, who got traded from the Yankees to the Marlins at the age of 41, he just reported to spring training, and he's batting like 360. You can remain at high levels of function, although there is inevitable functional decline as you get older. You know, I recently had dinner with a guy who's a very athletic 45-year-old. He does, you know, major aerobic feats of exercise, and he asked me, what's it like, you know, you seem like you're in pretty good shape, Dr. Hoffman, you bet you're 62, and, you know, is there any difference in terms of how you're feeling with your exercise? I said, yeah, there's a difference. I said, I can still do a lot of what I used to do, but it's more a matter of preventing decline. You got to work hard to prevent decline when you're 62, and you have less chance of vastly extending your athletic abilities. You got to work harder to maintain wellness. And, you know, so I'm a little bit of a science fair project in that regard. I exercise. I try to stick to a really careful diet, and I take a lot of supplements. But, you know, we're battling a little bit the sands of time, and there is a little bit of an inevitable decline in energy. But there's no reason why you should feel so lousy at this relatively young age. There's some, you know, specific cause that you need to address, and you need a little detective work to find out why. All right, let's talk to Al. Hey, Al, how you doing?
Hello.
Hi, Al.
Yes. I used to be a vegetarian. I'm trying to get back on meat. In the meanwhile, I test anemic, and I need to take some. I'm trying to take some iron.
Okay.
How should I deal with iron?
Well, you know, let me ask you a couple questions. You know, first of all, you're anemic, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you know you're anemic? You did a blood test?
Yeah.
Okay. And a blood test, the doctor found you had low iron.
Yeah.
Okay. And the doctor didn't say, hey, you know, maybe we should do some tests to find out if you have some source of gastrointestinal bleeding. You know, there's a workup that's done medically when you're found to have low iron. It's not just about diet. You can't just say, oh, you know, you're low iron. Let's forget about that. It's to eat some steak. Usually there's a medical workup. Just make sure you don't have gastrointestinal bleeding or any other source of bleeding that's causing the problem. So that's number one. And, you know, maybe that's already been done and the doctor says, hey, you know, you just need to take some iron. That's sometimes the right thing to do. On a vegetarian diet, some people are fine, but especially for women who are menstruating, Vegetarian diet is, it's tough to maintain adequate iron. And as you get older, your ability to absorb is decreased. And people who take acid-blocking medications, many Americans do past a certain age, they're on them for life, that impairs your iron absorption. That can be a problem. And, you know, vegetarian foods that contain iron are not as bioavailable. You know, so Popeye ate spinach, and that's a great source of iron, and his muscles grew big, you know, as soon as he popped out of the can. You saw the cartoons as you were growing up. But iron from spinach is not that bioavailable. It's kind of tightly bound to the plant matter in the spinach. And the most bioavailable form of iron is what's called heme iron, which comes from animal muscle and animal organs. You can get some iron from eggs as well, but you get virtually no iron from cheese or milk. And so the best way to supplement iron is to eat iron-rich foods. You can then take iron supplements, but iron sulfate, for example, it's the most common and cheapest source of iron, and it's a potent source of iron, but it's also very constipating, causes a lot of side effects. So newer sources of iron are more gentle on the gastrointestinal tract, and I often prefer using those. But, you know, I would suggest that you make sure your doctor, and usually doctors are pretty careful about that, you know, because they're conscientious, and they're also, you know, they got to worry about missing the boat on a diagnosis. They don't want to be accused of malpractice. They will work up iron deficiency pretty aggressively. And at the end of the day, he may say, hey, you know, you just need to take some more iron. All right, this final note on today's broadcast, zinc deficiency, big problem. In a new study, it's linked to immune system response, particularly in older adults. 12% of people in the U.S. do not consume enough zinc in their diet, according to official estimates. I think that's an underestimate. Of those 65 and older, closer to 40% do not consume enough zinc, and it's a problem because it can cause decreased immunity, and at the same time, it can permit more inflammation in the body. And that is a serious problem for many older individuals who tend to be more inflamed anyway. Make sure you take adequate iron. Take at least 30-40 milligrams of supplemental iron. I like zinc picolinate, generally a good source, and good for the eyes as well. Helps to fend off macular degeneration. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks for joining us. Check out our website at drhoffman.com for more. This is Intelligent Medicine.